morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. In case you went to bed very early, Red Sox 4, Yankees 3. The Red Sox move on to play Houston, what proves to probably will prove to be a very good series that starts Saturday night. Now, our own Mr. John Wallach, for the first time ever, I've come into studio, and he has seemed really out of it. Like, I've never had that happen before. Now, did you drink last night?
No, I did not, because I knew what was going to happen later. So after the concert was over, I did not drink last night.
Because Rich and Wallach both went to see Mr. Phil Collins.
What's funny is that both of us also got home in time to watch the ninth inning.
Yes. we both saw the ninth inning live.
That's how freaking long that game was. Actually, in fairness, got home in time to watch Chris Sale. So it was like, I was able to see Chris Sale as well.
Yeah, I didn't get home until about 11:30.
That's how late that game went. I think it ended at like 11:40 or something like that.
11:45, yes.
So,
nice quick one.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, nice. I knew. I mean, it's a Red Sox-Yankees game. If it's anywhere close, I knew I was going to get back in time to see the end. Yeah,
the constant pitching changes in the playoffs. Yes. And all those things,
right?
Yes. But Wallach was real. Like, I thought he was pissed off about something, but then I realized he was just talking out Wallach.
Well, in fairness, I had him running around this morning doing stuff in the other room, so that's his.
Well, I mean, that doesn't.
No. I'm tired.
What are you talking about, in fairness?
Like an idiot. After the ninth inning was over, I went back and watched a lot of the key points of the game. Because I had missed it all. I was at the concert. So I went and watched to see if Angel Hernandez was egregiously bad. I went and saw, you know, the Sox 3-run rally and how bad CeCe Sabathia was. And I looked to see, you know, Chris Sale and how his velocity was in the eighth inning. Because that's the first thing I was listening to the national broadcast on the way home. And Cora brought in Sale in the eighth. I'm like, okay, Cora's going for the kill shot. But if Sale doesn't have it, if Sale, you know, because he's not pitching on regular rest, if Sale doesn't have it and he helps to blow this game, what will game five look like whenever they play it? Because it's supposed to rain real hard here tomorrow. And if they manage to get through that, what is Sale going to look like against Houston in the next series? But it didn't matter. Sale pitched well. He hit 94, 95 on the gun, and all is fine.
All is well.
Yeah.
All is well.
Wallach didn't snap his fingers like nobody's business last night.
Well, that was...
Maybe that wore him out a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so...
Toe-tapping extravaganza.
So, Phil, was it sold out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, it was sold out, the entire 300 section.
I don't know. I was sitting up there. There were a couple of seats empty in my section. Maybe people didn't show up, but I was surprised. Right before the lights went down... And he started pretty much right on time at 8:15. There were some seats empty up where I was.
Okay.
So I don't think it was a complete... now, obviously, most of the seats were gone. 95% of the seats were gone. But there were a couple empty seats in my section.
Now, where were you, Rich?
I was in a box, kind of up near the stage. So it was like a side view.
Yeah, he was on the opposite side of the garden from me. I was at 300 section one side. He was in a box.
Where'd you get the box?
Somebody I know had a box and called me and said, do you want to get in on this? And I was like, sure. So it was a group of like me and like 16 of my friends. And we all split a box because this guy happened to have a line on one. I think he just got it through. I think he called like the TD Garden. It wasn't anything special. It was just for concerts. Some concerts, you can just purchase a box if you have a lot of people going in on something. So we got that, and we will get into details as to how the entire night went last night. The good news is that I got to keep an eye on the game the entire time, which is good. You know, they don't let you turn the TVs on in the room.
They do or do not.
They do not during a concert.
Boy.
You cannot. That's like the whole benefit of like having like being in a box is that you can watch like the game. I thought that was going to be the thing, but instead, somebody had brought like an iPad and sitting up. They had thought ahead.
That's not fair to Phil Collins. That's not fair to him.
Well, I don't think he would have realized what was going on anyway.
Is that moving around a lot?
Phil is on the 16th or 17th hole, Phil. He can't really walk too well.
I'll just tell you this. We'll get into it in detail later on.
Right.
But Mary thought he was joking when he came on stage with a cane.
Yeah.
And then sat down on a chair.
Whoa. He sat down the
whole show.
He can't stand up.
He can't stand up.
He stood up for one song.
He sat down and had a nice little table filled with snacks next
now,
to him.
Now, the table could swivel, but no, he sat down. The chair rather could swivel.
I don't want to get too much into it. As I said, I want to say
it. Well, there's a 4-hour show.
It was so funny because Phil Collins was so still that when he would turn in his rotating chair, the crowd reaction was as if Gene Simmons had just spat up blood and shot to the top of the arena. That was the high action moment was that he turned sideways and would put his hands out and pointed his trumpet player.
Put it this way.
Did he have snacks?
Yeah, it was like a table full of sensible snacks.
He was eating?
I never really saw him eat, but he had a water and there was a little bowl full of something. And then
it was like your grandfather alone in his home, right before lunch.
Great.
Sitting down to watch TV.
The best was that Mary was like, "Oh, is he joking around with the cane?" No, she thought it was going to be that scene in Willy Wonka when he comes out with a cane and then there's just a flip. No, he's pretty messed up. Guy can't move.
You know what he looks like? He looks like the guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they open up the ark and all of a sudden all of his hair burns off and it's got the real thin skull with the real sunken eyes right before the skull explodes.
Jesus.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah, I mean, he's in bad shape.
He's 67, but he looks like he's 107.
His voice is perfect.
Yes, the sound was great. His voice was fine. If you could get past the fact that he couldn't walk or stand, it was fantastic.
It was called the Not Dead Yet Tour, and it was kind of morbid after you saw the show.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
There you go. That long.
Might be dead.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that. It sounds like it was a real hoot.
It was actually great. I mean, it was funny because
the concert was fantastic.
Well, there was a million great reasons why it was weird. Great reasons why it was just one of the stranger shows I've ever been to.
Right.
Despite the fact that it was an arena show where a guy was in a chair the entire time.
Yeah, I wonder if people knew, because I just assumed he stood there.
No. There was somewhat of a hush over the building when he came walking out with the cane.
Yeah.
I think that maybe 15 to 20% of the people knew what they were getting into, and the rest of them were like, yeesh.
Yeah,
I'm
part
this?
Of the majority. I'm like, what's going? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Holy
He's going to sit right there, isn't he? He's not moving.
And you read the books. You kind of knew what was to be expected, but not to this extent.
No, I read the book, but it didn't. I read the book, too, but it didn't.
There's something about reading what kind of life he's led and where he is, and then seeing it is something entirely different.
Oh, yeah. It was, it's right there in front of you for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And he's going to sit there and eat his snacks, and he's going to...
He had a sweater on? I mean, really, he could have been my grandfather.
It was awesome.
Seriously.
It really was awesome.
He had a sweater. He dressed like he was 85. I swear to God.
He had a sweater and a chair.
All he was missing was a pipe.
And a cane.
Yeah,
Came walking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something, man. It was something.
They just snacks? Snacks is the best thing I heard.
Just sometimes, it's 2 hours you're out there. You need a snack.
He's just bagging Doritos.
A goldfish, Get yourself some goldfish, maybe a little bowl of peanuts.
That'd be so funny if you just opened up a Snickers. Excuse me for a moment. All right, so last night, a game that became interesting, and then after the game was had a lot of moments to it, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of great stuff, and I've just been licking my chops waiting to hear the John Sterling, Susan Waldman calls of some of the plays that happened yesterday, because we know that Susan Waldman was distraught throughout game three. So I can't wait to hear what she sounded like last night. She was not having a very good day.
No, but then you have Kimbrel who comes in and almost chokes it away to the likes of Luke Voigt.
Oh, man.
Who is a Louisville Cardinal.
Yeah,
or wherever the hell the AAA team is now.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the season, and he almost chokes that away.
Gary Sanchez missed a grand slam by about 5 feet.
Yep, and then you have a replay at first that they have to take a look at. So the ninth inning, very interesting, as John said. Eighth inning, Chris Sale comes in, Alex Cora, saying, "Let's not screw around with this. Let's get this done."
Yep,
you have a situation where after the game, New York is playing in the clubhouse. Porcello, for no reason, going off on Sabathia.
Sabathia going off on the home plate umpire.
It was Sabathia, which was great. I mean, the both of them going back and forth was fantastic.
No, but I mean, I don't know why Porcello felt the need to defend who universally is considered the worst umpire in the league.
But the best part about it was Sabathia wasn't asked a question. He just started his media availability in front of his locker by just going right after the home plate umpire.
And by the way, from what I saw last night, it seemed like any of the bad calls benefited the Red Sox.
No, well, there was
a couple pretty bad strikes that were called that benefited the Red Sox.
And they were at the end of the eighth inning when Benintendi struck out with a couple of guys on base. It was a pretty close pitch. It really should have been a ball, and Benintendi was really angry. But by and large, there are only about. From what I saw, I skimmed it more than watched the whole thing after I got back last night, but I didn't see anything egregious. It looked like,
nothing
sure
egregious.
Enough, there's Angel. There were maybe two or three pitches in there the entire game.
But I just did, we'll talk about it, but I did find Porcello's reaction to Sabathia's comments to be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because this guy's going to screw you.
No, Sabathia threw a pitch to the backstop. He hit another guy. I mean, it was all on him.
That third inning was all on him. I just thought that it was Porcello's comments. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
Why are you defending Angel Martinez, who everyone universally thinks is the worst umpire in the game? How'd you get on that?
What's that?
Did you get on the call screen?
I can't. No. I'm logging out, trying to log in.
All right. So there you go. We will go over everything that happened last night in the game. Later in the show, Wallach will have his review of the Phil Collins concert, and then Billy Jaffe will be in studio at 9 o'clock. What a show in store for all of you today. We will be back in just a moment.
98.5 Sports. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, allow me to tell you this. What happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go choose. Participation may vary.
Well, a few days ago, it was this.
We want Boston! We want Boston! We want Boston!
Well, sometimes you get what you wish for.
It was so close, so near and yet so far, but the throw hit Pierce's glove. He's out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And Boston wins the American League Division Series 3-1. Now, the Yankees, frankly, gave a gallant fight. And Kimbrel was just able to pitch through.
And with that,
by the way, Sterling sounds like just overjoyed. I mean, he really does. He's like, oh, God, thank God I can go home now.
Well,
I'm not on the road.
I imagine standing up slowly, grabbing his hat, walking into the nothingness of the Chili Bronx evening, never to be heard of again.
Well, Waldman's probably under the table in the fetal position.
Oh, yeah, she probably drank a gallon of box wine and yelled at her Uber drivers, Roger Clemens, the whole way home.
Yeah, he sounded downright delighted.
He was like, it doesn't matter to him. He's almost like a robot at that point.
Well, no, he's like, I don't have to go to Houston. Like, everything's all right.
Well, it took four games and every pitcher not named David Price, but the Sox did it. They move on to the ALCS after winning last night 4-3. And even though Rick Porcello struck out only one guy yesterday, he limited the Yankees to only one run, while nearly three-fourths of his pitches were all strikes. After that, Alex Cora plotted out what ended up being a perfect night from his bullpen with Matt Barnes in the sixth, Ryan Brazier in the seventh, and a surprise appearance by this guy in the eighth.
A three-run lead, two outs, nobody on. Sale deals, and a called strike three. Chris Sale retires him in order with a strikeout to end the inning. Boston 4-1 to the ninth we go.
That is a pretty ballsy move that paid off. Chris Sale comes in the eighth and only needs 13 pitches to take care of business. And every reliever recorded perfect innings in front of closer Craig Kimbrel, but that's when the crap hit the fan.
Full count, one away. Sanchez has been selling out for the fastball. The 3-2 and a swing and a high fly ball. Benintendi at the track. Will make the catch, tagging at third, and scoring is Gregorius. It is a one-run game, but Boston is one out away as Gary Sanchez just missed.
Craig Kimbrell is a problem. A near disaster for the Red Sox last night, entrusted with a three-run lead. He walked a pair of batters, gave up a single, and then hit a batter, and then coughed up a huge sack fly, as you were mentioning, to Gary Sanchez that fell just in front of the fence. Almost a walk-off. However, he gets things done, and of course, there was this.
Fly ball right field. Vasquez sending Judge back. Got some carry, and this ball's going to bounce out. It's a home run for Vasquez. 4-0 Boston as Vasquez goes deep.
I need
love
to hear
Yankee Stadium. Love the contours. Perfect.
That right there, that's a nice can of corn.
Yep.
Just getting that's, right out of there.
Mookie Betts could have caught that one lying down at Fenway.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a... not. I, with an aluminum bat, I could definitely get it out of there.
Well, then the party started, and hey, guess what they were playing in the locker room after the game? You hear that, Aaron Judge? Don't get so cocky there, sir. However, afterwards, they talked
about it. That.
In your face, jerks.
You play that in our building.
And we're going to play it in yours.
Yeah,
with
take
the
that.
Music.
You pieces of crap.
As a matter of fact, I think someone actually yelled that. You pieces of crap. We got Spotify, too.
Yeah.
Here's
hey,
Alex.
Frank Sinatra, more like Mink Shamakwa.
We know the Wi-Fi password, jerks. So here's Alex Cora being asked about the disrespect being thrown their way, the shade, as they say, towards the Yankees.
In your clubhouse, you're playing New York, New York during the celebration. Did that resonate with you maybe more than you guys let on after game two, Judge playing?
Not with me, but I know they talk about it. When Dustin brought it up, I was like, well, they know it happened. I don't know if they took it personal. It's just, I don't know, man. The kid, he's a great kid. He's a good player. One of the best in the game. He's one of those guys that can become the face of baseball. You know, from afar, I really enjoy watching him play. He's good for baseball. You know, nothing personal.
It's Dustin Pedroia who got pissed because he had nothing else better to do.
Just sitting there,
point.
Just sitting there, narking on everyone,
checking the internet videos. What should I get angry about while you guys all play and do things that are actually?
I'll just sit here.
I'll just sit here and refresh my monitor. So we all know that umpire Angel Hernandez has sucked the entire series. That's of course why they stuck him behind home plate last night. Well, one guy who feels he got screwed by some of Angel's calls is, as you were mentioning, Fred, CC Sabathia. After the game, he was not pleased.
I do need to say this, though. I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play in these, to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him in the first
inning? It's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by many of your teammates?
Everybody. I think if you go ask them on the other side, too.
CC, was this strike zone tonight?
It's always.
Yeah.
It's always. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
And then there was the other side of things with Rick Porcello, who essentially told CC Sabathia to sit himself down. His response was, quote, "Throw the ball over the plate, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game. You have to put the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. That's all I've got to say about that." Well, end quote.
Yeah, Sabathia wasn't good.
No, he wasn't good. And I don't blame Angel Hernandez for that, but I just find it odd that A, Porcello's that pissed after winning, and B, that he's defending the undefensible. No one in baseball thinks Angel Hernandez should be doing playoff games. Like, where his ranking is statistically, however the hell they figure it out, he's lower than the middle. He's not the worst, by the way, but he's lower than the middle of the pack. And I think maybe because he sued or something that they feel obligated to put him on these playoff games, but he really doesn't deserve to be there. Now, obviously, my antenna is up for Angel Hernandez because of what happened in game three.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, everything you re- – I mean, these guys have been trashing him for years.
So in this series, Porcello, Eovaldi, and Sale combined to walk just two batters while allowing no homers in 17 and a third innings, posting a combined 2.08 ERA. On top of that, Monday and last night were just the second time all year that the Yankees failed to hit homers in their home park in back-to-back games. Dan Roach talked to Craig Kimbrell after the game in a way that really only Dan Roach could.
Craig, what was it like to scare half of New England for a few minutes there in that ninth inning?
Well, I mean, I'm not going out there trying to do that. I'm trying to have a 1-2-3 inning, but it didn't always work out like that. And at the end of the day, we got the win, and looking forward to Houston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to pitching for another team next year.
his
numbers, while they look good, I mean, 96 strikeouts in 62 innings. His strikeouts per nine are down. You know, he wasn't nearly as good this year as he was last.
At his age, you don't sign a closer.
He's 30 now. Yeah. I mean, you're on the wrong side of 30. He's going to ask for 4 or 5 years, considering his past. If I'm the Red Sox, I don't go near that.
No, not for a close.
You get a much cheaper option.
Yes.
Did you see the video from Game 3 where they showed Jackie Bradley Jr. standing next to Mookie Betts in the dugout, and they're watching Severino pitch, and they're calling each one of his pitches? Severino was tipping his pitches the entire night, and there's video now that shows the two of them telling them before he pitches exactly what he's going to do, and each time they nail it. So Severino, and they, I forget what pitch he was throwing there for a while at the beginning, but he just all of a sudden, I think it was his cutter or something, like he all of a sudden stopped pitching it, and they're saying it's because they realized he was tipping that pitch, and they really had no backup plan. So they just got rid of one of the pitches in his rotation, and so it's pretty funny how, I mean, you take a look back at it, and they seem to know exactly what he was going to do.
It's 16 runs.
It was a slider, Dan's telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did like 5 in a row, and then you could see them. They were calling it, and after that, no more sliders for the rest of his time out in the mound, which
that's
is kind of
difficult.
Funny.
How many pitches are in his repertoire? So he's got a changeup and a fastball, maybe a two-seamer.
Slider.
Which makes it even more ridiculous that they didn't pull him out earlier.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're... Say he's got 3 quality pitches or 4, and then you take one away. Dude, slider's a relatively important pitch.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of tips the scales in the other direction.
Yes, yeah. I would say so.
That's how you win a game 16-1.
Yeah.
Well, you want to hear Mookie Betts hitting Garrett Austin right in the face with a cork from a champagne bottle?
Yeah, I would. I saw the video. I didn't hear the audio.
How much fun have you had watching Mookie have the season that he's had?
Tremendous. You know, he's a hard worker. He works his butt off.
I think he's about to get...
Just tries to continue the interview.
Yeah, why don't you just state that he got hit in the face with a cork?
Right, just say, oh, just well, that say, was a strange...
I mean, that's like something interesting. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
This Angel Hernandez is just so frustrating. How could he be doing a game behind the plate when every player in the league feels the way we just heard Porcello about? I mean, he got, I think, of 18 calls that went to replay, he got 14 of them wrong in his career. I mean, the only person that I know worse at their job is probably Sarge.
Okay, I knew that was coming. From a mile away, again, I saw that one coming down the pipe.
Maybe I just don't have the street smarts you have. I keep getting blindsided. I don't see it coming.
I felt it coming. I could
I really didn't see that
just
one
just talking about someone not doing very well at their job. No. I'm like, here comes Sarge.
I like how Sarge blames me. What did Fred do to shut it up?
What are you doing to trigger these people?
Yeah, what did Fred do? All right, what is coming up, Rick?
All right, well, we'll get to a little bit more of the post-game shenanigans with the Red Sox. Also, the fight of a lifetime has been announced. We've got more info.
Fatso versus another Fatso.
And the press conference that started it all is glorious.
All right, so we will have that in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In this inning, two hits, a hit batter, and now another base hit. Nunez into left field. Kinsler's going to turn and head home. It's going to be 3-0 Red Sox. Eduardo Nunez with a 2-out RBI single.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
By the way, have you seen a picture of Happy Poncho Roach last night?
I have not.
Doing the reports, he is, of course, there's no place happier than when Dan Roach is standing covered in champagne in the locker room. He brought his own poncho.
Yeah,
he's
because
ready to go.
He can't get the suit. He can't get the champagne on the suit.
It's like, why wouldn't Mookie hit me with a cork? I think is what he's...
the finest in Italian design. I mean, you can't just get you know, alcohol over it unless you're dining with the Prince of Monaco.
Dan wanted to know if it was a Disney poncho that he was rocking. No, that's his professional poncho. All
yeah,
right,
this is the special poncho that he just can't wait to whip out. He had it out, and then Kimbrel struggled a little bit, and he didn't know what to do. Thought he was jinxing it, so he put it back in his briefcase, which he does carry a briefcase, by the way. He has a straight-up dad briefcase.
And he brings it to the game?
He brings it in here.
Yeah. Well, he does.
Brings a baseball,
along
too,
with tons of cologne. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he does wear a cologne even at 5 in the morning.
Yes, he does. Well, one person who seems to have developed a us-against-the-world type of mentality, and if that works, then great. It seemed to last night, is Rick Porcello, as we were mentioning before. He was defending Angel Hernandez, or at least last night, which I have no problem with him doing it last night, because he's right. There wasn't anything overly egregious that he did yesterday. And also,
I don't know why you choose that as your battle. I mean, no one's taking anything away from you. It's not a big deal, but I just find it odd. And then, wait, well, Angel Hernandez is going to work the plate sometime next year, and he's going to be horrible, and then Porcello's going to have to sit there and bite his tongue.
It's all right. I thought you said he was a great guy.
Yeah, and then if I'm on the other team, I'm saying, hey, it's easy, Porcello. Throw it over the white part of the plate.
Well, here's Rick Porcello on people doubting them after game two.
Yeah, we're not really sure who those people were, and we weren't really paying attention. We were ready to go for game three, and we did a nice job here in New York.
Now, Chris Sale apparently was told before the game, listen, we might need to call on you, and he
said,
told,
I got one or two in me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys didn't hear that because you were out rocking and rolling with Phil.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they said on the broadcast?
He said he kept coming into Cora's office, and he's like, Skip, I got one or two in me.
Well, here's Alex Cora asked about playing him last night.
Yeah, I was prepared for it. You know, talked to AC before the game and told him I was, you know, ready whenever he needed me. So, you know, at this point in the year, it's all hands on deck and no holding back.
By the way, I'm kind of impressed at how low-key the champagne celebration was. Like, I mean, for people going nuts and them having it out there and Mookie shooting people in the eye and stuff like that, they're pretty laid back, which I like and I respect, because I know a lot of other teams would completely flip out just for going to the NLCS or the ALCS. But is it that, or are they just a boring team? You know what I mean? That there's no, like, Johnny Gomes or anybody
Gomes,
like the party starter?
Yeah, I mean, if you have Gomes, it's a whole other level. That's like having, you know, an older brother or an older cousin that will buy you beer.
Right.
That's just Gomes. He just takes it to another level. He rode his motorcycle into the a little known story is that when the Red Sox won the ALCS, he took it, a motorcycle, and drove it right into their celebration and then did wheelies. Did you guys know about that?
No.
Yeah, he took a Harley.
Really?
And then
really?
He started popping wheelies and going, woo! He ran over a clubhouse kid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Knocked him right off his feet. Actual tire tracks on him.
Surprised I haven't heard that. Maybe they tried to bury that with a lawsuit.
No, he just took out an American flag and went, whoosh, and then he disappeared.
And then our minds were all erased.
That's right.
Because America. Well, Brock Holt was talking about the Yankees, and meanwhile, he gets champagne dumped on him a few times.
They're a really good team, and we're a really good team. So you never know what's going to happen in a five-game series. And, you know, obviously we...
Rock
baby!
Woo!
Hey! Woo! Ah, thanks! Wow!
Woo! Just very subdued. It's like very
mumble
calm.
Rap in the background, that's why.
There is a lot of mumble rap, yeah. But I mean, Alex Cora, once again, after his decision to start Eovaldi and Brock Holt, he did it again by sitting Brock Holt and Rafael Devers in favor of Ian Kinsler, who had an RBI double.
Well, Ian Kinsler has been, he's the guy who was very good against Sabathia, or am I thinking of someone else? I think Kinsler was.
I haven't seen the splits, but Eduardo Nunez hit an RBI single last night. He played Christian Vasquez with Porcello for the first time this year. That's the first time they were together, and that was last night. That seemed to end up working out as well because, as we know, Christian Vasquez had that solo homer. And, you know, Porcello, he wasn't tipping his pitches. So I guess that's a benefit in this series. Well, there you go. It was a perfect night from his bullpen outside of Kimbrel as well. You really can't say much more great things about how Alex Cora has handled this postseason
so
far.
He risked it and came out on top. But, again, if Chris Sale couldn't do it in the eighth inning and they wound up blowing that lead, it would be an entirely different narrative this morning.
He would have started still game five.
he would have given you an inning or two.
Yeah.
I think that's how fragile that shoulder is, which is why I was stunned he brought him in the
John,
first place.
If it's or buts were candies and
sure,
nuts.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We would all indeed have a Merry Christmas. Well, the American League Championship Series is set. All games are going to be on TBS. Game one this Saturday right here. 8:09 is going to be the first pitch, and then game two is going to be the next day, this Sunday.
7:09, I think. 7:09. I think we get a break on Sunday night.
They move it up 1 hour early, and then it goes to Tuesday.
So you're going to have to choose between the Patriots and the Red Sox?
That's correct.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh, my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Throw me in the briar patch.
So you, I wonder, you know what, locally? I wonder what gets better ratings.
Of the Patriots game.
Patriots Yeah.
Patriots are going to pull a 30. I mean,
It's not even going to be remotely
The Red
close.
Sox, I mean, will get like a 10 or an 11 or a 12.
I'm talking in Boston, like it's locally.
Still. No, still, locally. The
locally, the Patriots are going to get a 35 or maybe a 40.
Patriots by at least double. I might go so far as to say triple.
It's going
to
be, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, I would say definitely at least double, without a doubt. So you've got game three in Houston. It's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then, if necessary, Saturday and next Sunday back here for game six and seven. So that should obviously be an interesting setup. Are you going to go to any of these games, John?
No, probably not.
You're not? You're staying away?
I'm probably staying
away.
He had
his big night.
That was it. That was my one night out last night.
Last night
I'm done. I've fulfilled my quota for you know, the season.
Now he's all tuckered out.
That's autumn.
By the way.
Now he's all tuckered out. Yeah. He saw Phil last night.
That's it. He's as tuckered as Phil was.
Yeah.
By the way, the Chiefs versus Patriots game features the highest total of the year as far as betting is concerned, the over-under being 59 points.
That's surprising.
That's what happens when you get this offense with Patrick Mahomes.
Get the bankroll boys in here Thursday, right? What do you think, pound the over?
Yeah, I would take the
over. Say that's a sucker's play. That's go against the square.
That's right, going against the square.
Oh, you
that's
fade the public. You got to fade the public.
You got to fade the public. Yeah. That's a square bet.
Belichick and Andy Reid have gone head-to-head 9 times. 8 of those games went over.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive genius, former punt, pass, and kick champ Andy Reid.
When he was a giant compared to all the other kids out there.
This bears bringing up because it's been enough time since we talked about it the last time. What was he? He was 11, 12?
I don't know.
He looks like he's 30 standing next to those kids. He's at least 3 times their size.
I actually pulled up that video last night.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's still
worth looking at every once in a while.
But it's funny because Andy Reid isn't a particularly large man height-wise now.
He just grew like 3 times as fast as every kid.
Yeah, he was done at the age of 12.
Yeah. I mean, he was a huge, stocky kid. But yeah, it's not like he's 7 feet tall now.
By the way, a little bit of mercy to Patriots fans, because the Patriots at Bears game on October 21st is going to remain at 1 p.m. with the league picking Bengals Chiefs to move into the primetime spot. That is nice, because that would have been 5 straight primetime games.
So is it just now every week they announce if they're going to flex something?
Yeah, starting week 8, I think. Yeah.
So they announce it, and so next week they'll announce what's happening the week after that?
No, it's like a 2-week heads up, because this is for the game of the 21st. It's the 10th, so it's like, and they announced it yesterday. So it's like a little less than 2 weeks you get if you have tickets to the game.
It's enough with them in prime time. It's not everyone.
All of this is, it's on a run earlier, Fred, but right now, Sunday, November 4th is the last one. I mean, they have Kansas City at night, then they're at Chicago at 1 that stayed, and then Monday night at Buffalo, Sunday night at home against Green Bay, and then the last 6-7 games, the last 7 games on the schedule are all scheduled for afternoon.
Well, the Buffalo is a sleep game.
Yeah. I hope you are correct.
Buffalo's the talking points after that game are, it was Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, Rich, I look forward to, there's a UFC match, right?
Yep.
With someone that we've fallen in love with?
Absolutely. And it was a press conference involving this gold mine of audio that started the whole thing and kicked it off. We will get to that, and get ready next month. Big dude fought just a couple days ago, and he's already going to fight another huge match a month later.
Yeah, it's, for someone who doesn't like working out, it's an awful lot. We'll hear all about that.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, well, it looks like we've got a fight officially announced. The one of our favorite guys, somebody who we fell in love with during this past UFC fight, big fat dude named Derek Lewis. And who is Derek Lewis? He's a guy that doesn't like working out, doesn't really enjoy fighting that much, but has some of the best post-game press conferences that we have heard in a while. However, he is just completely out on doing any kind of cardio. As a matter of fact, he was talking about this past fight, and he said, I don't think I want to do another five-rounder or three-rounder because I was working out 30 minutes a day to prepare for this, and I'd probably have to end up working 45 minutes a day. That's a professional athlete complaining about practicing or working out 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
That is somebody who, of course, gave us this little nugget after his fight.
Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
Okay.
That's great.
Now, when they say, why'd you take your pants off, did he take his shorts off?
Yeah, he took his shorts off, and he's standing there in his underwear, and somebody's like, yeah, put him back on.
Well, what advantage is there to taking off your shorts if you have...
Well, I mean, we know
Derek,
that it's because,
you know... My balls was hot.
His balls was hot.
Okay, so... to walk me through how having loose shorts on can somehow... make your balls hotter.
I don't know, but maybe he was just craving something.
Next week or sometime, or 2 weeks from now, I'm going to come on your show and smoke some weed with you.
So he's going to be fighting Daniel Cormier.
Do you guys ever watch the Cleveland show?
Yeah.
No, he sounds exactly like Cleveland's kid, who was a fat on the show.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to come smoke some weed with you.
Is that what he sounds like?
Sort of, I guess.
Well, right. We've had Cormier here in studio before, and he's done some things like, you know, commercials. And here is one of the commercials that ran about a year ago. It's,
yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry about your size.
That's Cormier singing.
Okay.
So she kept feeding me Popeye's chicken, those legs and thighs.
It was a commercial for Popeye's chicken that he did. So there was a press conference where the two of them happened to be on the same bill, Daniel Cormier and Lewis. Now, they were not fighting each other. And Daniel Cormier starts talking about Lewis being disrespectful to him backstage, and he asked why that happened.
I've already got a challenge in the back. Derek Lewis told me that he was going to knock me out right before we walked out of here. So, I mean, Derek Lewis may knock out Francis and then knock me out afterwards. I don't know. I know they got guys that are lined up to fight me. He's been sizing me up since I got back there and called me small. He's like, well, you're a lot smaller than everybody up here. That's rude, Derek. He said it. Like, wow, you're a lot smaller than everybody else.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah, you are.
Derek, what's your issue with Daniel? I want to know, too.
He disrespect that Popeye's chicken on a commercial for you.
I mean, come on.
And it's not like Cormier. Cormier's been in here before.
Yeah. He's like a nice
guy. But even if the fat guy is just an act, I mean, he's really selling it.
Oh, without a doubt.
And also, I like the idea that if it is an act, that the UFC's like, all right, you're going to be a really slovenly fatso that doesn't train or want to do anything.
You see, the thing about him is it's not an act because...
But even if it is, I don't care. Just the idea that the UFC would do it.
Because during that fight that was just this past week was that he was getting his ass kicked like a fat guy. Do you remember the that movie, Random? But you and I actually have an attachment to this. Out for Justice, that movie with Steven Seagal.
Yes.
Okay, so most action movies have an epic battle between the main bad guy and the main good guy. The reason Out for Justice was fantastic was because the final fight was Steven Seagal just versus a fat guy, and he just beat the snot out of him.
Exactly.
And there was no fight.
Yeah.
That's what this fight was between him and this Russian guy, and for two rounds and all but 14 seconds of the third and final round, this Russian dude was murdering Derek Lewis, and he was just, you know, getting his ass beat like the fat guy in Out for Justice, and all of a sudden, Lewis just reaches back, and in one punch, decks the dude and knocks him out. Because that's what this guy can do at any point, despite how out of shape he is and how unconditioned. He's got a punch that is lethal. And all it takes is one to knock the guy out. So whatever you say about it maybe being an act, he acts like a fat guy in the octagon.
It's just encouraged.
Just disrespecting Popeye's fried chicken. I think that's enough to actually get in a fight. And so apparently that's what's his motivation for fighting Daniel Cormier. How great is that, too? Like, he's like a guy, like, not only are you out of shape, but Dana White's working you to the point where you just fought and you're in another UFC fight a month later. Like, this is going to be on November 3rd. Dude, how can you do that? Like, these guys are getting, like, the snot beat out of them, and they need them to recover and train in a month.
3 weeks from Saturday.
That's insanity that they would do that. But he don't care. He just wants to. Matter of fact, I saw him doing an interview, and he's like, you know, a lot of these guys like Conor McGregor. If I was Conor McGregor, I'd retire. You got more money than what you would do. I'm doing it just to feed my family. There's no other reason I want to fight. Just they got to eat. I got to eat. They got to eat, you know.
One of my terriblest fights of all time. I didn't like my performance at all, you know. I know it was a five-round fight. I just tried to pay myself, but that was some bull. I was going to say I'm on Travis Brown and Mark Hunt, but this performance right here is some bull. So I'm going to sit my ass down. I just got to do number two. That's all. It's not really hurting from the kick, but I just got to boo boo.
He's got a boom boom.
Oh, you're my hero. We got to get him on the show, man. We got to get
him. Well, we had Cormier in.
So. Cormier was great. And but you see, the thing about Cormier is he's kind of a big, and you see him, and you're just like, oh, this guy can't be an elite athlete.
Yeah, he's sort of short.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like he's muscular.
No, but he like kills guys.
No, you know. He's got to be a champion for a while. Like, even 6 months. Just let him be champion for a while.
Dude, it would be the best. It would be awesome if that happened.
I just know I have a bigger heart than him.
Okay, this is where he's talking about the guy who beat up Ronda Rousey. Travis Brown was like, so he just beat him up in the ring. And here's what he said.
I just know I have a bigger heart than him. You know, he called himself a man, but he like put his hands on women. So... forget that guy. I got much, much more heart than he has. You know, walk around there, rise and find ass.
He's a heavyweight, right?
Yeah, dude, of course. Oh, he's like 270.
I'm sure, okay.
As I said, if Vince Wilfork...
We've beaten Ngannou, so that's true. He's a heavyweight.
If Vince Wilfork would lose like 60 pounds, he'd be this dude. Like, I mean, it's just like, you know, Vince Wilfork is just enormous. But, I mean, he's just, when he's talking too, he's just like rubbing his head. Like, man, you know, he's just thinking about lying down.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to
just
do...
bring out like a silver tray with like a, one of the tops on it with a feast underneath.
Right.
Just a tower of hamburgers?
No, one of the little short fat guys came and told me I got to put my shorts back on.
All right, so there will be no commercials here, just the headlines.
From the town of Bear Tire Scooter, WDZFM and HD Houston, this is the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Leslie Media Brief Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox.